Call the meeting of the Board of Water and Natural Resources meeting to order. Is it Brenda call the roll? Who calls the roll?
Brenda's.
Brenda, please call the roll.
Becker?
Here.
Bernhardt?
Here.
Drews?
Present.
Jennings?
Here.
Lanning?
Here.
And Soholt?
Here. I'd like to welcome everyone participating in today's meeting or listening online. This meeting is streaming live on SD.net, a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. For the benefit of our online listeners, I request that all participants please identify themselves when speaking during the meeting. Participants should also remember to unmute their microphones only when speaking. The meeting is being recorded and the audio will be made available online following the meeting. To find the audio recording online, do a web search for South Dakota Boards and Commissions portal. Follow the link and select the name of the board. If members of the board's Legislative Oversight Committee are participating in remotely, please acknowledge your presence at this time. We got Mike back here, okay? Very good. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved, Bernhardt.
Second, Jennings.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any additional comment or question? Hearing none, all in favor with an aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Item number three, approved minutes of September 26, 2024 board meeting. We did that. I skipped it, didn't I? I went to the approval.
You're good. You're right there.
Okay, let's continue with approval of the minutes.
Yep. Bernhardt will move approval.
Second, Becker.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any additional comment or question? Hearing none, all in favor with an aye?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item number four is the public comment period. At this time, if there's anyone that has comments pertaining to the issues on the agenda today, this gives you an opportunity to speak. This is not a question and answer period. It's rather just an opportunity for you to present your thoughts. Are there any comments? Hearing none, moving on to item number five, 2025 State Water Plan applications. Andy.
Thank you, Chairman Soholt. Yep, members of the board. Water projects, which will require state funding or need state support for categorical grant or loan funding, need to be on the state water plan. At its November planning meeting, the Board of Water and Natural Resources approves projects for placement onto next year's state water facilities plan. Placement of a project on the state water plan by the board provides no guarantee of funding. The projects placed onto the plan at this meeting will remain on the facilities plan through December of 2026. There were 36 state water plan applications received by the October 1st, 2024 deadline. The list of the projects was included in your board packet, as well as a map showing their general location. And we'll have on the screen the projects listed as I present them. Our first application came from Elcester. This was for replacement of approximately 6,600 feet of existing water main that is beyond its useful life throughout the community. Project would also rehabilitate the existing water tower, both the interior and exterior coatings, and other safety upgrades. Project amount estimated need is $4,374,000. Next, we have two applications from Big Stone City. The first one being for preliminary engineering efforts to identify drinking water distribution system materials and conditions for approximately 16,000 feet of water main. This would allow prioritization of future upgrades and replacements. Estimated funding need of $100,000. Second Big Stone City application is also for preliminary engineering efforts to clean and televise the wastewater collection system for material and condition for approximately 32,700 feet of sewer. It will allow for prioritization of future upgrades and replacements. Estimated project funding need of $205,000. We have two applications from Bryant, first one being for replacement and new installation of approximately 3,500 feet of existing water main that is beyond its useful life, undersized, and some water main to loop the system throughout the community. It would also rehabilitate the existing water tower interior and exterior coatings and other safety upgrades. Estimated funding need of $2,030,000. Second Bryan application is for replacement and installation of approximately 3,100 feet of sanitary sewer throughout the community to replace pipe that is in poor condition and improve wastewater collection to existing users. Estimated funding need of $2,225,000. $2,225,000. The next application is from Buffalo Gap. This is for replacement of approximately 2,750 feet of existing water mains that is beyond its useful life and undersized throughout the community. Estimated funding needed, $1,314,000. Canton has two applications. The first is for replacement of approximately 2,000 feet of existing water main that is beyond its useful life and undersized on West Street. Estimated funding need of $1,946,000. The second Canton project is for installation of approximately 2,600 feet of sanitary sewer, which would remove existing homes from septic systems, and installing 2,700 feet of storm sewer on West Street. Estimated funding need of $2,552,000. Next application is from Columbia. This is for replacement or relining approximately 10,000 feet of clay sanitary sewer, installation of 2,400 feet of storm sewer throughout the community. The treatment facility would be moved to a new location out of the impact area from flooding and sized for total retention. This would include a lift station and force main to convey wastewater to the facility and other necessary work. Total estimated project funding need, $12,395,003. Our next application is from the Fall River Water User District. It's for installation of a booster station near the junction of Highways 18, 79, and 385, along with Angostura Road. This booster station would provide better operational control to loop the system, increase pressure, and ensure other booster stations and storage tanks are able to operate fully to best serve customer needs. Estimated funding needed, $3,240,000. Falkton has requested for replacement of the existing booster pump facility. The current facility is beyond its useful life, and upgrades are needed for capacity and condition to assure service to customers. Estimated funding need, $668,000. Garden City submitted for replacement of an existing lift station that is beyond its useful life, and some minor improvements to the wastewater treatment lagoons. Estimated funding need, $488,000. Gettysburg submitted an application for cleaning and televising of approximately 78,000 feet of clay sanitary sewer throughout the community to determine future repairs and improvements to the treatment ponds. As well as make improvements to the treatment ponds to include reshaping of dikes, new control structures and piping, sludge removal, installation of riprap, and gravel surfacing for access roads. Estimated funding need, $2,963,600. Grant Roberts Rural Water System submitted a project to assist the town of Summit. Summit's current water source is high in iron and manganese levels. Manganese is considered by EPA to be an emerging contaminant. Treatment for removal from drinking water is recommended. This project would instead directly connect Summit to the Grant Roberts Rural Water System as a bulk user. The town's existing water sources would no longer be needed, and the source of the manganese would be removed. The project would include 15 and a half miles of new line to connect the Grant Roberts Rural Water Treatment Plant to the community, a new elevated storage tank, and pump improvements at the treatment plant. Estimated funding need, $8,300,000. Next application is from Groton. This is for replacement of an existing lift station and 4,500 feet of existing force main to the treatment facility. A new standby generator would be purchased for the lift station, and the treatment facility would be expanded for additional capacity with an additional lagoon cell and artificial wetland cells. Estimated funding need, $6,587,000. Hecla submitted projects for replacement of 15,500 feet of clay sanitary sewer, installation of drain tile for groundwater removal to improve stormwater management and reduce infiltration and inflow into the sanitary sewer system, rehabilitation of the wastewater treatment lagoons, and installation of a lift station and force main to improve sanitary sewer conveyance. This project is currently on the facilities plan, however, it would fall off at the end of 2024. Estimated funding need $12,921,000. Next, we have two applications from Hill City. First is for installation of treatment and pumping equipment to allow use of an unused well, install a new booster station and ground storage reservoir in the high pressure zone, replace pressure zone separation valves with new pressure reducing valves to improve the system operation, install 9,300 feet of new water main to loop portions of the system, and replace 3,350 feet of existing water main that is beyond its useful life. Estimated funding need $10,880,000. The city's other application is for construction of a sequencing batch reactor wastewater treatment train to provide for needed capacity and system redundancy. After completion of the new treatment process, the existing treatment process equipment and electrical components that are in poor condition would be replaced. Estimated funding need $13,785,000. Next, we have an application from Ipswich. It's for installation of approximately 4,000 feet of storm sewer and associated improvements for stormwater conveyance. Estimated funding need $15,130,500. Java has submitted an application for replacement or relining of 16,600 feet of sanitary sewer, upgrading the controls for the lift station, and to purchase a generator for the lift station. The project is currently on the facilities plan, however, would fall off at the end of 2024. Estimated funding need $2,555,900. Keystone has submitted an application for replacement approximately 5,600 feet of existing sanitary sewer with new larger pipe. The existing pipe size is not able to handle the flows as they continue to increase from large tourist and new population and could result in backups. Estimated funding need $5,609,000. Kingbrook Rural Water System submitted an application for installation of 9 miles of 16-inch transmission main to increase pressure and capacity in the pipeline segment between the Bruce Water Treatment Plant and the Badger Pump Station. Estimated funding need $12,750,000. Next, we have two applications from Mitchell. First is for replacement of approximately 43.4 miles of existing water main, which is all remaining cast iron, sand cast, and asbestos cement pipe within the distribution system. There will also be 20 sections of new pipe totaling 13,000 feet being installed to loop the system in various locations. This project would be completed in multiple phases over several years. Estimated funding need $57 million. The second Mitchell project is for replacement of approximately 28.8 miles of existing sanitary sewer, increasing the capacity of 26,000 feet of sewer, and replacement or rehabilitation of 6 existing lift stations. Again, this project would be completed over multiple phases and years. Estimated funding need $55 million. Next, we have an application from Perkins County Rural Water System. It's for construction of a new 300,000-gallon storage tank, 11,200 feet of pipeline to connect the tank to the distribution system, and the project would also replace 19,000 feet of ductile iron pipe that is beyond its useful life. Estimated funding need $5,800,000. Southern Missouri Recycling and Waste Management District submitted an application for construction of a new solid waste disposal cell number 4 for the regional landfill. Estimated funding need $850,000. Next, we have two applications from Springfield. It's for replacement of approximately 3,800 feet of existing water main. This is beyond its useful life throughout the community. Estimated funding need of $2,250,000. The second application is for replacement approximately 2,600 feet of clay sanitary sewer and installation of 1,500 feet of storm sewer throughout the community. Estimated funding need $3,250,000. Tubit Ranch Estates Homeowners Association submitted an application for rehabilitation of the existing ground storage tank to include recoating of the interior and exterior, installing an exterior ladder for roof access, and installation of an access hatch. The project would also purchase a standby generator to operate the system's pumps in the event of a power outage. Estimated funding need $188,000. Veblen submitted an application for cleaning and televising of 19,700 feet of sanitary sewer collection pipe. The results of this televising will determine if replacement or relining of the pipe being inspected is possible for the project. Estimated funding need $4,585,000. Viewfield Rural Water Association submitted an application for replacement of all existing water meters with new remote read meters and billing software, and also would replace the SCADA system controls at the well houses. Estimated funding need of $210,000. Volga submitted a project for expansion and upgrades to the wastewater treatment facility for current and future growth needs. Project would include the following process or equipment improvements. These include pretreatment, pumping, final clarifiers, aeration system, and sludge drying. The project will allow the treatment system to operate as an activated sludge system upon completion, and the existing lagoons will not be utilized for treatment, but would remain available for equalization storage. Estimated funding need $18,709,000. Webb Water Development Association submitted an application that would assist the Pleasant Valley Homeowners Association. The existing water system that is owned and operated by Pleasant Valley Homeowners Association is in need of repairs to the distribution piping and meter replacement. Project would be to replace approximately 5,300 feet of water main, replace all meters with new meter pits and associated work with that. At completion of the project, Webb would take ownership of the system and provide individual service to each resident. Estimated funding need $892,000. Wessington Springs submitted an application for improvements to their wastewater treatment facility to include grading of areas adjacent to the treatment ponds to prevent runoff into the ponds and riprap around the ponds to prevent erosion. A lift station that is beyond its useful life would also be replaced. Project again is currently on the facilities plan, however, it would fall off at the end of 2024. Estimated funding need $1,490,000. Our last two applications are from White, first being for replacement of approximately 5,500 feet of cast iron water main with PVC pipe, primarily on streets in the southern portion of the community. Estimated funding need $2,117,453. Second White application is for replacement of approximately 5,300 feet of clay sanitary sewer with PVC, again primarily on streets in the southern portion of the community. Estimated funding need $2,164,335. Staff would recommend placing all 36 projects onto the 2025 State Water Facilities Plan.
We have a motion to follow staff recommendation.
Motion, Jennings.
So moved, Lanning.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any additional question or comment? Hearing none, all in favor with an aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item number six.
Chairman Boholt?
Yes.
I didn't catch who seconded the motion. Who seconded that motion?
Jackie and I. Jackie. Which way do you want to call?
Excuse me?
It was Lanning and Jennings.
Okay, thank you.
All right, item number six. I will begin the public hearings that have been advertised to begin at 1 o'clock. The purpose of the hearing is to receive input and adopt the fiscal year 2025 intended use plans for the Clean Water and Drinking Water State Revolving Fund programs. The intended use plans identify how the funds for each program will be used during the upcoming year. Each intended use plan includes a project priority list and projects that must be included on this list in order to receive an SRF loan. The intended use plans each include bipartisan infrastructure law addendum, the proposed 2025 clean water SRF and drinking water SRF intended use plans for requirements and specific uses of the SRF programs through the BIL funds. Andy Gruhl, the Division of Financial and Technical Assistance, will introduce the Clean Water SRF Intended Use Plan. Andy.
Thank you, Chairman. The Clean Water SRF Intended Use Plan and BIL addendum were public noticed as required, and all notices were completed correctly. Copies of the draft intended use plan and BIL addendum were included in the board packet for you to follow along with. Cover the highlights of the 2025 Clean Water SRF intended use plan and the BIL addendum. If there are any questions as we go, please feel free to stop me and we'll try and explain it further. Beginning, this is the couple pages into this item after the public hearing notice is the Clean Water SRF intended use plan. Much of the information on the first two pages is required general program information and not significant items that change for the most part throughout the years. However, I would like to just kind of call a quick notice to, you know, some of the things we've discussed with the board recently with interest rate changes and other adjustments related to, you know, keeping the fund stable and sustainable is in objectives under the goals, objectives, and environmental results, maintaining a permanent self-sustaining clean water SRF program that serves in perpetuity as a financing source for wastewater treatment projects and non-point source pollution plan. So that's a high objective and goal that we strive for, and so a big reason why some of the recommendations we make for uses of funds and things like that, interest rates are what they are. So moving over onto page 3, kind of begins some of the discussion of numbers that change from year to year, and that's in the funds, amount of funds that's available to be transferred between the two programs. The Safe Drinking Water Act amendments in 1996 allowed transfers within the programs of up of an amount equal to 33% of the drinking water SRF capitalization grant can go from clean water to drinking water, from drinking water to clean water. With anticipated 2025 capitalization grant, we have the ability exists to transfer more than $66.3 million, should that be necessary, from the clean water SRF to the drinking water SRF, and more than $64.4 million could be transferred from the drinking water SRF program to the clean water. That's detailed a little more out in detail on Table 2, which is on pages 12 and 13 for both the base program and the BIL funds. We are not proposing any base, any base program transfers currently in 2025, and we'll continue to evaluate if there's any need for that during the year, and we'll bring that to the board for any changes in that recommendation. Moving over onto page 4 is our sources of loan funds coming into the program for the year anticipated. The first source from the base program being capitalization grant and state match funding. We're anticipating the base program grant to be similar to last year's, which was $4,008,000. That also requires $801,600 in state match, and anticipating bond proceeds and administrative surcharge fees being used for that state match. That does not include the BIL general supplemental funds in that, which we'll talk about later. Leverage bonds, anticipating likely issuing close to $100 million in leverage bonds for the Clean Water SRF in the upcoming year. Borrower principal repayments, we're estimating approximately $8 million in principal repayments becoming available to make additional loans during the year. And then interest earnings, again, estimating approximately $14 million in additional interest earnings becoming available for loans in the upcoming year. Moving on to the bottom of page 4 begins a discussion on additional subsidy, which is done as principal forgiveness. This has been part of capitalization grants since 2010. We'll cover the affordability criteria briefly on the next page, but just to point out, along with the affordability criteria, we do also have minimum rates for systems of $45 per month for municipalities or sanitary districts, and then $70 per month for 5,000 gallons for any other users. And those are established in rule by the board. Moving on to page 5, the discussion on, kind of in the middle of the page, on what the affordability criteria that is required by EPA for most of the principal forgiveness dollars and by our rules for all principal forgiveness dollars to be awarded. You have to receive a total of 5 points in our system. You can can receive 5 points if your median household income is less than or equal to 95% of the statewide MHI. And then the other way to qualify is if the system's median income is between 95% and 105%. If there was a declining population from 2010 to 2020, and then if the county that the applicant is in was less than the statewide unemployment rate that's established in rule. So we have a couple avenues for that affordability criteria to be met for systems. Moving on to page 6, we have a discussion on Green Project Reserve. Green Project Reserve is not required in the Clean Water SRF by law. However, it has been required since 2010 as a part of Congress's capitalization grants. And we anticipate those would be going forward. We've been able to show Clean Water or Green Project Reserve related projects. It is not a separate portion of the dollars. It is just a reserve amount of the total capitalization grant that we try to find projects that meet that level. We have been able to meet that from 2010 up and through a portion of the 2024 capitalization grants. Several of these are for the Section 319 non-point source incentive rate financing that we do related to riparian buffer strip and other activities like that that produce good environmental results. Between some of those projects and a project from Sioux Falls for some potential energy savings, I believe we'll be able to continue meeting that 10% estimated requirement that good faith effort that there will be for the 24 and the 2025 grant amounts. The bottom of page 6 begins our interest rate discussion, and over onto page 7 is where the interest rate table is. We did review interest rates with the board back in June. However, no changes were made to the Clean Water SRF interest rates. Those were last changed in November of 2023. We had a discussion with our financial advisor and looking at current market rates and comparison to rural developments, we determined that at this time there's really no need to change the interest rates. However, knowing that the market is fairly fluctuating these days and could change more in the coming months, we will be, you know, checking in with our financial advisor regularly and may, if necessary, be coming to the board in January or March with a recommendation for a change if need be in those interest rates to make sure we're staying competitive for both our borrowers and for our own bonding needs. On page 7, the bottom of the page is the discussion of administrative surcharge fee activities. So all of our loans include an interest charge, but that interest charge is broken into an interest rate that goes into the program and then an admin surcharge that's available for some other activities. Those other activities, historically, we've used some of those fundings for total maximum daily load or TMDL assessment and implementation projects. These are things like the 319 non-point source projects, and we assist our watershed protection program with those, some dollars for that. We've also in the past used these funds for consolidated supplementing that program for grants and loans. Another major activity that we've utilized those funds for is SRF application preparation by the planning districts, as well as their assistance with monitoring for Davis-Bacon wage rates for projects, which are required by the SRF programs. On page 8, we have a discussion of our proposed uses for administrative surcharge funds in federal fiscal year 2025. At the end of September, we had just a little over $1.16 million available of unobligated administrative surcharge funds, and we're anticipating this upcoming year to generate an additional $2.6 million of those funds. We are proposing to allocate $3.4 million in total of administrative surcharge funds. $200,000 would again be used to supplement the Section 319 programs for TMDL implementation. We'd use $300,000 for the planning districts to assist in their costs for application preparation and project administration, including the Davis-Bacon activities, and then utilizing $2,900,000 of the admin surcharge funds as state match for the 2025 capitalization grants. Again, that's more than the base program need. However, it is not the total need with the BIL general supplemental funds for state match, so we would probably need to bond for a little bit as well. On the bottom of page 8, we do, within the capitalization grant, have a couple of set-asides. They're not termed that technically in the clean water, but it's the easiest way to reference them. One is for administration. We have a few different alternatives for determining an amount of funds available for administration of the SRF program. We can do 4% of the capitalization grant, $400,000 per year, or 0.25% of the current valuation of the Clean Water SRF Fund. We do detail what those different dollar amounts would be. However, it's just kind of an easy one that meets the needs for our administration costs of the program. We're proposing to use the combined 4% allowance from the base program and the BIL supplemental. That's $640,320 would be allocated towards that. $160,320 from the base program and $480,000 from the BIL supplemental grant. Going on page 9, the other set aside is the technical assistance set aside. This was something new that came in with BIL. That is, we were allowed to use up to 2% of the grants for technical assistance to small and disadvantaged systems. Past few years, we've adjusted some of what we used to use surcharge, admin surcharge fees for, and to do a contract with Midwest Assistance Program for technical, managerial, and financial capacity assistance to systems, and then for small community planning grants. We're now using these set-aside funds for that. However, in looking at the funds available for the rest of the year, or next year, we have couple hundred thousand dollars still available in the bank unobligated, which is more than enough to meet this year's anticipated needs, so we're not recommending any allocation of additional dollars towards that activity. The rest of pages 9 and 10 are primarily some assurances to EPA and requirements of the program that we certify we will meet, as well as the distribution of funds criteria at the bottom on page 10. And then page 11 is the public comment and review. You will notice there's a highlighted section there, and we will be updating that after the meetings today with any comments, should there be any, beyond what I present. Again, page 12 and 13 are the transfer tables and amounts available to transfer from the different categories of funds. Page 14 is the principal forgiveness availability total tables. You can see both the base program as well as the BIL supplemental programs outlined and the amounts that have been provided to date. Pages 15 through 22 are what is attachment 1, or the project priority list. This is a list of all the projects that have been submitted for state water plan consideration and eligible for clean water SRF funding, being placed on there in their priority point order. There are a total of 39 projects and $370.5 million in total need listed on the in that table. Attachment 2 is our list of projects anticipated to be funded in this upcoming year. That is a list of kind of Andy's best estimate of what might come in the next year. Mike didn't leave me his crystal ball when he left, but he used to always say this one's pretty hazy, and I would agree with him. So we kind of take our best estimate from what came in state water plan applications and what we're looking at for potential dollars available. Some of those state water plan applications, you know, smaller communities with some very significant projects that likely would be scaled down, so some of that's taken into account as well. So this is my rough estimate of what we may see. A lot of applications showing up in March of 2025, which is kind of the standard for what the board receives in funding application requests. Right now, that list is 27 projects, totaling just under $146 million. I would note the principal forgiveness dollars shown are for planning purposes only, not an indication of what it would be recommended. Moving on to page 25 and 26, these are attachment 3, our program funding status, or in EPA terms, our sources and uses tables. This is a table outlining all of the dollars in the base program on page 24 that have been credited to the fund. In total, there's just a little over $1.28 billion that have come into the fund. However, if you look kind of just below that, we have closed loans totaling $1.53 billion, and then another unclosed loans of around $193 million. So as we noticed, the need to continue doing some levered bond issuance, that was anticipated that we would be overutilized with the change to the cash flow model. That was the purpose of it, was to have an oversubscription. We do anticipate $140 million of new funding coming into the program in the upcoming year to help, you know, continue that cash flow and pay for those existing and new projects coming on board. And we do have, again, just a little under $146 million in potential new projects coming up for the new year, which in discussions with our financial advisors, right about where our program capacity levels probably are too. Page 25 is the BIL Emerging Contaminant Fund program status. Again, in the Clean Water SRF, to date, all we have done is transfer those dollars to the Drinking Water SRF, and we do not have any projects currently eligible for those funds, so we're not anticipating requesting any new funds on those as well. We have not yet received the 2023 allocation and transfer of these dollars, so those aren't shown yet. However, they will be in the future once that comes through from EPA. That's the main IUP. The next pages are the BIL addendums specific to those BIL special appropriations. We're anticipating a total allotment, a little over $13 million in 2025. That is split between the general supplemental and the emerging contaminants funds. $12 million for general supplemental is our anticipated amount. The eligibilities for those funds are the same as our base program, and those are the projects that can be used. The requirements, again, rather similar state match. For those board members that may recall, previous to 24 was 10%, 24 through 26 of these BIL allotments, the state match requirement is 20%. So that is a uptick in demand on our cash funds for that as well. And 49% of the capitalization grants in the general supplemental dollars must be provided in the form of principal forgiveness to those systems that meet the affordability criteria. So significant portion of the dollars going back out as principal forgiveness to that pool. Again, we have the couple set-asides available. Technical assistance, as I mentioned, is for the planning grants and the technical, managerial, financial capacity. Again, we do have significant funds available for that from prior years, so not recommending any additional funds being allocated for those purposes. The administrative allowance, as I noted, you know, the total 4% combined between the two grant amounts, $640,000, with $480,000 being proposed to come from the BIL supplemental grant. Again, the emerging contaminants funding, we're anticipating $1,043,000. However, we, again, don't have any projects on the priority list that meet the eligibility criteria for that. So at this time, we are not intending to apply for those funds. Potential that we could look to transfer them to the drinking water program as well, where we have had more demand on those projects but we don't have that need currently. The last two pages of this, again, are some BIL specific information regarding different EPA requirements and then the public comment and review. So with that, I would just like to note that we did not receive any written comments on the draft clean water intended use plans, and I'd ask for any board questions or action at this time.
Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify on the clean water SRF intended use plan? Any comments or questions from board members? We have a motion to approve. We have a motion and a second. Are there any additional comments or questions? Hearing none, all in favor with an aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. We'll now consider the intended use plan for the drinking water SRF program. Andy will present the fiscal year 2025 drinking water SRF intended use plan. Andy.
Thank you, Chairman Soholt. Much like the clean water intended use plan, the drinking water SRF intended use plan and BIL addendum were public noticed as required, and all notices were completed correctly. Copies of the draft intended use plan and BIL addendum were included in the board packet again. I'll cover the 2025 drinking water SRF intended use plan and BIL addendum highlights. If there's any questions as we go, again, please feel free to stop me and ask. Just call out on the first page of the intended use plan, again, a highlighted section for public comments that will be updated after today's meeting and before final sending. Moving on page two is the goals and objectives and environmental results. Again, just want to highlight that long-term objective of a permanent self-sustaining program serving in perpetuity for as a financing source for drinking water projects and source water quality protection. Again, an important aspect of the program in my view. So moving on over on page three, some of the specific environmental measures and results. We do a little look back here in the drinking water report to the 2024. What's one of the metrics is known as the fund utilization rate, and this is the percent of executed loans to funds available, which was 128%, and that exceeded our target goal of 100%. Again, since we switched to the cash flow model for allocation of funds, we anticipate that utilization rate remaining above 100% in future years as well. The next metric is our project progression or construction pace, and this is measured by the disbursement of assistance provided compared to the total assistance provided. This was only 62.3%, and that was lower than our 75% goal. However, we do believe a big factor in that is a lot of the current loans under construction include American Rescue Plan Act dollars, and with the deadlines to get those funds out the door, those grant funds are being drawn first prior to the SRF funds in most cases, and so we do anticipate starting to see that rate pick up some in the next year here as ARPA dollars in projects are expended. So we're hoping to get that construction pace back up to 75% for 2025. In 2025, we're anticipating about 23 loans totaling pushing $70 million, estimating that we'll have 92 projects initiate operation or complete their construction, which is much higher than usual, and again, driven by that vast number of ARPA-funded related projects. We are anticipating likely doing approximately 10 small community planning grants, and that the South Dakota Association of Rural Water Systems would provide 1,400 hours of technical assistance to small systems. Moving on to page four is the discussion on interest rate. I do know this is a long blank page, however, the interest rate table is on page five. It's become too long to fit in one spot. Much like the Clean Water SRF, we reviewed with the board in June interest rates, and for the Drinking Water SRF, there was the new private nonprofit private borrower interest rate added at that meeting. The remaining interest rates remain what they were set at in November 2023. Again, we discussed with our financial advisor the need to adjust any of those interest rates currently and determined that at this time they were in a good spot. However, we will be continually looking at those and may come back to the board at a future meeting during the year to adjust if needed. Beginning at the bottom of page five is the introduction to administrative surcharge fees for the drinking water program, and on to page six, more of the details on that. On the drinking water side, as of September 30th, 2024, we did have about $4.23 million of administrative surcharge funds available and unobligated. These, again, have been used for planning district administration, for application preparation, and project administration, as well as Davis-Bacon wage rate monitoring. We, again, would recommend allocating $300,000 for those activities, recommending another $75,000 for operator certification training. We've been doing that for several years now and assisting our drinking water regulatory program, making sure our drinking water operators are well trained and certifications are maintained. And then the last proposed use is utilizing $3,500,000 of administrative surcharge funds being allocated for state match towards the capitalization grant match requirements. This again is to help reduce the need for additional bonding for those dollars. The middle of page six is the discussion of small system funding. One of the unique things of the drinking water program compared to clean water is that there is a small system funding requirement that a minimum of 15% of the dollars credited to the fund be used to provide loan assistance to small systems that serve fewer than 10,000 persons. Since the program's inception, more than $606 million have been made to systems meeting that 10,000 or under population, which is 43.5% of the total funds available. Our 2025 estimated projects, $69.5 million, $50.9 million of those dollars are estimated towards systems serving less than 10,000, so we would continue to well exceed that 15% threshold, which in South Dakota is not necessarily shocking. At the bottom of page six, we have a discussion on availability of funds transferring between the two programs. This is very similar to the Clean Water SRF program language, and 33% again of the drinking water capitalization grant amount can be transferred from the drinking water to clean water and vice versa. Again, have the ability to move $66.3 million from clean water to drinking water, or $64.4 million from drinking water to clean water. And again, we are not currently proposing any program transfers. However, if we do make that determination during the year, we would come to the board for that recommendation and change. Middle of page seven is the financial status for the base program. Capitalization grant state match, again, using 2024 kind of as our baseline, estimating a cap grant amount of $4,661,000, which would require $932,200 in state match. And again, proposing that we would use bond proceeds and administrative surcharge fees for those match dollars. Leverage bonds, again, anticipating approximately $100 million being issued in leverage bonds during the upcoming federal fiscal year. Borrow principal repayments and interest earnings. We are not estimating any excess principal or interest earnings becoming available for additional loans. As we've talked, the drinking water program capacity has been pushed a little bit in the last couple years, and those funds are going to be needed to make our upcoming bond payments, and so we won't have additional funds coming in for new loan money, but feel we're in a pretty good shape otherwise. Moving on, On to page 8, we have our discussion on additional subsidy principal forgiveness in the drinking water program. This is similar and yet different than the clean water in a few different ways. The dollar amounts and required amounts have been different. We do still have minimum rates, and those are similar to clean water at $45 for municipalities and sanitary districts per month, and $70 per month for other systems for 7,000 gallons. Table 3 on page 14 covers the principal forgiveness provided to date. Based on the last couple years, we're kind of anticipating the base program principal forgiveness will be about 14% of the capitalization grant, but again, have not seen that from Congress, so don't know what the levels will be for sure. And that would be available to any borrower. There are additional funds available for disadvantaged communities that are already in law. And I'll cover that a little bit later on in an overall disadvantaged community discussion. On page 9 begins our discussion of non-project activities or set-asides. In the drinking water program, there are 4 different set-aside categories. The first for administration, very similar to the clean water SRF. We have 3 different ways we can determine that allocation. Because of the BIL supplemental fund grants being so large, we have plenty of funds available in those grants to utilize, and so we are not recommending any funds being utilized for administrative set-asides in the base program. For the small system technical assistance program, we can take 2% of the capitalization grant. However, there are plenty of funds in the BIL supplemental should we need them. I will say, though, we do have sufficient funds available from prior year's allocation to meet the needs, so we're not recommending any funding for small system technical assistance activities this year, and believe we won't have a problem meeting the needs to continue those activities. Primarily, those activities have been for contract with South Dakota Rural Water Association to provide on-site technical assistance, operator assistance to small communities, and then for small community planning grants as well. We do have, like I said, just over $435,000 available, which would more than meet our normal needs for a year. State program management. This is assistance to our drinking water regulatory program for some of their staffing and activities that we're allowed to utilize funding for. Not anticipating or not recommending any allocation from the base program. However, we will be recommending $300,000 from the BIL supplemental grant for those activities, and that's been pretty consistent for the last few years to help meet their needs. The local assistance and other state programs, again, not recommending any funds from the base program or from the BIL supplemental capitalization grant. We do have sufficient funds available for those activities of over $215,000 unallocated. This has been utilized for Midwest Assistance Program to assist in required borrower technical managerial financial capacity for the drinking water borrowers, and that dollar amount that's available is more than what we would expend in a normal year. Moving on to page 11, disadvantaged community criteria. Again, difference between the clean water and drinking water program. We have disadvantaged communities in the drinking water program. Pretty straightforward on that one is if the median household income is below the statewide median household income, then a project does qualify as a disadvantaged community. Some of those interest rates are reduced for certain borrowers if they are disadvantaged, and depending on the level, and that's aligned in the interest rate tables. Disadvantaged communities do have some opportunities for additional principal forgiveness, and that's required through law. A minimum of 12% of our base capitalization grant, up to a maximum of 35%, has to be provided as additional subsidy to disadvantaged communities. So that opens the door for little additional principal forgiveness, not including the BIL supplemental dollars. And that really kind of ends the drinking water narrative section of the report. Beginning on page 13 and 14 are the transfer tables for both the base program and the BIL funds. Page 15 is the principal forgiveness allotment tables. Have to condense some years in the future. We're starting to fill up most of the page here. But some significant principal forgiveness dollars available, especially from the BIL funding and the drinking water SRF program. Again, starting on page 16 and going through page 21 is attachment one, or the project priority list. This again is the list of projects having submitted state water plan applications and shown as potential projects available for funding in their priority point order. It's a total of 27 projects and $170 million on the drinking water side. Page 22 is attachment two, which is our potential funding project list. Again, my somewhat hazy crystal ball estimations of what we may see for applications coming in the next year. This is a total of 23 projects totaling more than $69.5 million. I would also note that up the second project from the top is a Grant Roberts project. That's the project to assist Summit, and that would actually come out of the emerging contaminants funding, so not from the regular program funding, which is a little unique. That's why it has a five over on the far right. Again, principal forgiveness for these is estimated only and not an indication of what might be recommended at that time. Moving on page 23, 24, 25, our attachment three, our sources and uses for the different categories of funds that we now have. The first one is our base program and BIL supplemental. Total funds dedicated to loan, a little under $837 million. However, loans closed of over $1 billion with an additional $324 million of loans yet to be closed. So we certainly have strong demand remaining for those funds that we do have, anticipating additional funding coming into the program of around $135 million in the upcoming year. And then from the base program, general supplemental funding, potential of just a little over $61 million in projects. That's a little less than what we believe our total loan capacity for the program is, and that's just fine because there will probably be something that surprises us at some point. On to the next page is the emerging contaminants program funding. Again, we have been able to utilize some of these dollars, and on the drinking water side, they're fairly substantial. We awarded a just under $8 million project a couple years ago to Sioux Falls for a PFAS-related removal. And then earlier this year, and this shows as an unclosed loan still because it hasn't been able to move forward quite yet, $14.73 million was awarded to Mid-Dakota for a project to assist Wessington Springs in a manganese removal. So the $8.3 million shown here reflects that Grant Roberts project for Summit that would also be a manganese removal and qualifies for those funds. And at this time, that's the only available project. We would be able to receive a little bit of additional funding above what's shown here should we have some projects meeting that category. And then the last page of the main IUP is our lead service line replacement funding. Again, it's been pretty limited interest so far in the lead service line replacement area. Many systems just completed their inventories here recently, although I think some of those inventories may have some efforts yet to put into them to really know what their services are. And the lead service line fundings, the way they come out from Congress and EPA, involve a lot of effort for what is probably some minimal dollar cost. So we'll see how much interest we get in them. If we have interest, we can go, and there's substantial dollars available for us to request and utilize. Approximately $28.6 million each of the last couple of years available, should we need it. That moves us into the 2025 BIL addendum. In total, allocation from BIL, $61.2 million, and that is split into three categories: general supplemental, emerging contaminants, and lead service line replacement. The general supplemental funding is anticipated to be about $24.9 million. Again, the eligibility mirrors the regular SRF loan program funding. Again, requirement for 20% state match, and requirement for 49% of that total dollars to be provided as additional subsidy to disadvantaged systems. All of these individual pots of funding, we do have the same four categories of set-asides we could utilize should we need to. We are recommending a few dollars to be used from the general supplemental funding. Again, that is for first one being for some administration dollars, recommending $400,000. We certainly could take additional dollars by the rules that are established. However, to from what we've taken in previous years and to run the program, we believe $400,000 is appropriate and leaves more funds available for loans. Small system training and technical assistance, the 2% set aside. Again, we have sufficient available funds on hand to meet those activities for the upcoming year, so not recommending any new allocation. The state program management for assisting our drinking water regulatory program, recommending $300,000 from the BIL general supplemental. And on the next page, the local assistance and other state programs, again recommending no dollars there as we have sufficient funds from prior year allocations to meet the needs of the program. The BIL emerging contaminants funding, we're anticipating a total allocation of $7,640,000 would be available. Our plan right now is we still have some funds from the 2024 allocation that we didn't have projects for previously, and we would first request those remaining funds. That's a little over $1.7 million. And we would also likely recommend transferring the 2024 drinking water or clean water SRF allotment of $1,043,000. And the main reason for doing that is we have a defined time period from EPA and Congress to request those funds and get them under award with us. And so if we wait too long because we decide to take the 2025 money first, we may not be able to utilize those dollars. So we're going to kind of go back, take what we can, and roll the 2025 needs forward and have a little more time to receive those if need be. The emerging contaminants funding, far more specific list of project types, has to be an emerging contaminant. The focus is PFAS. Thankfully, we haven't had a ton of that so far in South Dakota. However, there's more and more being learned about that all the time, so that could become a need. We do have some limitations. All of the funding needs to go out as 100% principal forgiveness, which is beneficial. We do have to provide at least 25% to smaller disadvantaged communities of the dollars. And in this one case, I shouldn't say small, because EPA's definition of small is 10,000. However, this is communities with populations less than 25,000. So it's a little different and one more thing to keep track of. But the one proposed project with Grant Roberts and Summit is well under any of that. And Summit is disadvantaged as well. So we would be able to utilize those funds there. The next page would be any set-aside activities. However, based on our program need, we're not planning to utilize any funds for set-aside activities from the emerging contaminants. And then, again, the availability of $28,650,000 for lead service line replacement in 2025. We have that same dollar amount that could be requested from 2024. Should we have projects that would want to seek lead service line replacement? Again, some unique challenges there. We did make an option for 0% loan rates on that, which was to help that, and this is kind of additional money we would not have to bond for, so no impact there to the program. But, you know, you can only do 49% of the project as principal forgiveness, which when you talk that this has to be a full SRF loan and the requirements for environmental reviews and engineering and things that go into that, it starts making the cost of the projects almost double for some of these small projects that they may not really see a benefit, which is unfortunate. We've been discussing that with EPA and others for a couple years and made limited headway, unfortunately. Not anticipating any set-asides allocations from the lead service line funding should we receive it. The last two pages kind of cover, again, some of the just general BIL requirements and then the public comment and review. Would just note, again, did not receive any written comments on the draft intended use plan, and I'll stand by for questions from the board.
Is there anyone in the audience who wishes to testify on the drinking water SRF intended use plan? From the audience or from the board, comments or questions?
Any of the required minimum water bills for either of the programs for subsidy changed to recent years?
Yeah, so in 2023, we did some rule amendments, and those are established in administrative rules. We did rule amendments that moved them from, I believe the last time we had adjusted it was in 2015. They were at $30 for 5,000 gallons, and I think $45 or $50 for the other entities. We moved that $30 up to $45 as a minimum. Now, that's a minimum. In reality, most entities, most systems, we have not been recommending subsidy funding until they're probably another $15 to $20 above that. However, there have been a few cases out there where, because of some unique circumstances or very low incomes or things like that, it's been beneficial to leave that minimum down a little lower and not go up higher, because then we might have to force somebody a lot higher all of a sudden that otherwise we would prefer not to.
One other comment, the detail of what this is a fantastic tutorial for anybody to go through it, for the board to go through that and reread not only the presentation, but to listen to what it all is and to understand it. It's a real wonderful description, detailed description of what the process is. So I commend everyone on the hard work of putting that together. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
I have one question.
Yes.
The lead project and program that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
Just this last week, I received a letter from up in Northeast South Dakota about the possibility of lead into the cabin up there. And it seemed, and memory may be wrong, but it seems like it's pretty late in the game, or it's later in the game than a lot of it was going out.
Yeah, so I actually got one at home myself, too. I thought I had done my own, but I looked on, so there's a website out there, I believe it's sdwaterpipes.com, that you could go out and you can see what your service to your home is listed as being. And all systems needed to report in. Now, but what was necessary was reporting in, not that all were marked as, you know, no one led, no one not led, things like that. And so there's been varying degrees of system participation, varying degrees of, you know, homeowners helping out with that, and just the general information. So there's still a fair amount of work to do to close that gap and get a lot of unknowns to either no one led, which I don't anticipate there will be huge numbers of in South Dakota, thankfully, or no one non-led, and, you know, PVC, copper, things like that. Well, probably not so much PVC on the service, poly and copper. But that's going to be a continued push. There was a requirement from EPA that came out, I believe it was October 8th, if I'm remembering, for the lead and copper rule improvements. That's, I think, maybe spurred some systems to pay a little more attention, because now there's some rule requirements at the EPA level for replacements being done within, I believe it's the next 10 years, and certain percentage goals each year coming up towards that replacement. So my argument with the lead funding, while it's good, they kind of put the cart in front of the horse, where a lot of states did not know what their lead issue was because of, you know, in South Dakota, we don't have a major lead issue, thankfully. One, limited services, and two, most of our water is non-corrosive in nature. So unfortunately, but there are some other states that were, you know, the Rust Belt states, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, where it was a much bigger problem. And so they were ready and rearing to use the money, whereas more Western states were kind of having to play catch up and a little behind the eight ball in it.
Dr. Gooder's comments always flow through my head when I see anything to do with them. Yeah. So, do we have a motion to approve the drinking water SRF program?
Motion to approve.
Drews would make that motion.
Second, Becker.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any additional comment or question? Hearing none, all in favor with an aye?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Andy. All right, moving on to item number 8, State Water Resources Management System Recommendation. Andy.
The Board of Water and Natural Resources annually provides a recommendation to the state legislature and governor regarding deletions, additions, and retention of projects on the state water resources management system list. The projects listed on the title page with this item are currently on the list. I would note one project that had been on the list previously was the Gregory County Pump Storage Project. However, Senate Bill 7 was brought last year and removed that project, so they are no longer shown on this list. The purpose of this item is for the board to approve a resolution recommending the retention of all current projects on the state water resources management system list. However, we do have a couple of SWARMS funding requests this year that will be part of the omnibus bill, but at this time, certainly like to let the representatives from those projects give the board a little update before we go into the omnibus bill. So, and before you take action to approve a resolution, our first presenter is Kurt Fifley with Dakota Mainstem. He, I believe, is online. Kurt, are you out there?
I am. Thank you for letting us give a presentation today, and thank you also for the remote access. I'm going to try and share my screen here. I'm, you know, pardon my clumsiness with Teams. I don't use it, but I'm going to give it a shot anyway.
Just let us know, and we've got it ready if not.
Okay, it's trying to load it. Okay, are you seeing my screen or not?
It is not letting it come through on our end, which is kind of strange. Let's just have you stop sharing, Kurt, and we'll pull it up and you can just tell us next slide. Sorry about that.
Okay. Let's share.
I think it might be our technology on this end. It kind of looks like to me.
3 out of 5 chance.
Well, now I gotta find my way back. There we go. I'm back. Okay, you can bring it up on your side.
Hope so.
Working on it.
Okay.
Here we go.
So let me. Right.
Can you see it now, Kurt?
I am seeing it now. So,
all right.
Thank you very much. I'm just gonna get to my notes here. Okay. So I'll just holler, change the slide when I'm ready. So first, I just wanted to thank you for letting us be here today to provide our project presentation. I'm at the project overview screen, and I'm gonna start my presentation with a brief review of the project. So if we can switch the slide, you should be seeing a map. So. A little bit about Dakota Mainstem. It was started really as an idea back in 2021 at a South Dakota Rural Water Managers meeting. At that meeting, the group was talking about some of their rural water successes. You know, Webb and Minnie Washoni and Mid Dakota and Lewis and Clark and others. And the question was asked, well, are we done? Is this it? Have we completed our water development goal in South Dakota? And the consensus was clearly that we have not. So we spent the next couple of years formalizing and the entity of Dakota Mainstem, filing articles of incorporation in March of 2023, adopting bylaws in October of 2023. And then early in 2024, in April, we posted an RFP, or request for proposal, for engineering firms. And after going through the proposals that were submitted and some interview processes, we end up selecting HDR as our primary engineers. So as you can see on the map here, Dakota Mainstem started with 29 initial members, and all 29 of those members were contained in the state of South Dakota. We had 17 rural and 12 municipal water systems. That makes up the initial 29. But since then, interest has grown, and as well as our membership has grown. We've went from 29 to 56 members now, nearly doubling what we started with. We still have 39 in South Dakota, so it's still primarily a South Dakota project. But we do have some interest in Minnesota, with 5 systems signing up over there, and 11 in Iowa, and 1 down in Nebraska, as you can see on there. The Santee Sioux Tribe has expressed some interest in that. Even with those 56, we still have what I'd consider a nearly even distribution of regional or rural water systems as compared to the municipal systems. So if we can go to the next slide. The importance of this, we really can't overstate the importance of water. It truly is a necessary ingredient for population and business growth, whether that be rural or urban or manufacturing or agriculture. But the fact remains, if you want growth, economic or otherwise, then you're going to have to add water. So history has shown that these types of large-scale water projects are really complex, they're expensive, and they take a long time. I'm going to give you just a quick overview of what I mean by that. Don't take these numbers to heart, because they're really just kind of estimations. But, I'd start with the Webb project, which, started probably in the early to mid-80s, 1980s. Webb took about 8 years to construct and about $110 million. Mid-Dakota took 12 years and about $160 million. Mid-Washoni took 20 years and $480 million. And then Lewis and Clark took over 30 years and $750 million or thereabout. So, the trend is pretty clear. These projects they're getting bigger, they're costing more, they're more complex, and they're taking decades to build. So, the truth of the matter is, if we're gonna get started on a project like that, like Dakota Mainstem, we need to start it now. The old saying is, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, but the second best time is right now. Switch to the next one, should be titled Studies. So Dakota Mainstem has begun its first study, and there will be likely others to follow. And we go to the next slide, which should put the appraisal study up here. The appraisal study is now underway, and here's kind of what we expect from this initial study. First, and probably most importantly, it's a needs assessment. We know that need exists. It's evident in the amount of interest that we have in that in the project, 56 water systems and counting. But that needs assessment, we're going to be contacting all of these 56 members. We're going to use a 40-year horizon, and we'll work with those systems to ascertain their water needs, both in a current sense and what's expected 30, 40 years from now. HDR has partnered with Banner Engineering, DJR Engineering, and Bartlett & West. That's really quite unique. I've been involved in water development for about 38 years now, and I've seen partnerships before, but I've never really seen one to this degree, where we have four engineering firms that that have a large presence in this state that are all partnering together to work on this project. So it's pretty unique, but it will spread the burden on collecting much of the study information out to these various partners. You know, I think it's fair to say, you know, with these four engineering firms that, you know, across the area that Dakota Mainstem is looking to serve, they probably are the engineers for, you know, 80 to 90% of those. So they either have access to a lot of data or they may have actually created the data themselves for their client. So it's pretty unique and we're pretty proud of this. So the appraisal study also would investigate what alternatives exist to address the need. The alternatives will include a no-action alternative. That's something that's required of funding agencies. So if no viable alternatives exist, or if no action is the best alternative, then the project would not likely move forward. We don't anticipate that, but it's out there. Financing alternatives will also start to be considered at this stage. However, you know, we'll certainly put a lot more meat on that bone in the feasibility stage of the project and the studies. At the conclusion of the appraisal study, that will present a decision point. Again, do we move forward to the feasibility study? We believe that the likelihood of moving forward is very high, probably in the 90% plus range. But nonetheless, it's still a decision that's going to have to be made. So go ahead and change the slide. Should have one that shows sustaining momentum and a bit of a roadmap here. So a lot of things have happened since the Dakota Mainstem project began just a couple of years ago. The project has moved from an idea to a legal entity. Again, articles of incorporation, bylaws, an engineer was hired, an appraisal study has begun. Membership has nearly doubled. Public and state, federal outreach efforts have really started to take off now. And all that time and work has moved us forward only a couple spaces on this map towards completion. So if you see the little red dot at the top of the map there, that's kind of where we are on this complex and torturous road right now. But we have the momentum, and we're actively planning how we need to sustain that momentum and move forward. So these top road casts are foundational efforts, are things that we need to accomplish before we're ready for project design and construction. The bottom road casts are future efforts, bringing the ideas into a reality. So we've got a ways to go before getting to that level, but I believe we're well on our way. So the next slide, this should be a title of the budget overview and swarms request. This is what brings us here to you today. So next slide. SWARMS request. Dakota Mainstem is requesting that the Board of Water Natural Resources recommend the inclusion of this project onto the Governor's Water Omnibus Bill for the 2025 legislative session at $1 million. The Board of Water Natural Resources did this in 2024, and ultimately the project was awarded the SWARMS grant at the end of the 24 legislative session. We have somewhere between $750,000 and $800,000 remaining from that grant at the start of this fiscal year, October of 2025. But we do anticipate that the appraisal study and the associated expenses, which we're just getting started on, will utilize all of that initial award. The 2025 request of $1 million is to allow us to proceed to the next step, that being a feasibility study. Now, we haven't negotiated an amount with our engineers for that feasibility study yet, but I think it's fair to say that the feasibility study will probably cost at least what the appraisal study costs, and likely more. Next slide should be a picture of our budget. It's just a summarized view. Just quickly go over the revenues that we anticipate this year. Where it says government local, That's primarily water development districts. We have been awarded $145,000 to date from East Dakota Water Development District, James River, and Vermilion Basin. That also includes East Dakota Water Development District awarding another $50,000 in this fiscal year continue their assistance in the project. The state government, the $1,750,000, really represents the SWARMS grant, what's left over, what we're carrying over from the 2024 award, that $750,000, and it includes an anticipated $1 million in the SWARMS grant for 2025. The membership at $235,000 and some change. Look, we understand that with the SWARMS grant, we have a matching requirement. And if we're going to use $1 million of SWARMS grant money, then we're going to be responsible for coming up with $250,000 of matching funds. And so we have assessed our membership dues on an annual basis, and that's in anticipation of meeting that grant match requirement. Donations, we receive some miscellaneous donations from interested organizations. We received some in the past from CoBank. We've received from some of the Sioux Metro Growth Alliance. We've received some donations from our members before we implemented the dues structure. So that makes up all of our revenue for just a little over, just shy of $2,100,000. So expenses for this next fiscal year, payroll, we have myself being one of those employees. We have one additional, we have not went out and actually done a search or hired anybody yet, but if the workload continues to increase, that will probably happen. Board of directors, our directors are not paid, but we do a budget for some unforeseen expenses, meeting rooms and those types of things. Travel, I like to say that we budget for what I would call a worst case scenario in travel. So we try to take a look at where this project may call us, throughout the whole next year. We don't know for certain, but we try to make an educated guess. I think it's probably unlikely we'll need that entire budget, but we like to be prepared, and we like to have it in the budget anyway. Whether that means, we have to travel to Washington, D.C. to meet with our congressional delegation, the Bureau of Reclamation at those higher echelons, or even the Bureau of Reclamation at the regional or the project area level. Even though Teams and Zoom are nice and convenient ways to do things, they don't take the place 100% of being there in person. Professional services, this is our large budget item, a little over $1 million. Includes all of our legal fees, financial auditors, IT, computer managed services, and engineering. Engineering, of course, making up by far the lion's share of that. And then lastly, we have our office operations, and that really just includes whatever's typical and customary to run an efficient office, office equipment, supplies, certain services, whatever they are, as they may be required. We do end up the year with a surplus, but it's also likely that the feasibility study will still be ongoing into that next fiscal year, so that money would carry over to the next fiscal year. So we can go ahead and go to the next slide, and that really is my presentation. I have our contact information. Ryan Johnson is the president of our organization. Ryan works for the city of Sioux Falls, myself, and then Dakota Mainstem is on the web at dakotamainstem.com. If you have time, please go there and check it out. I'd be happy to answer any questions and fill in any details that you might have. Next slide. Just a thank you. That's all I have, Andy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt.
Thank you very much for being available for us this afternoon.
All right. If there's no questions from the board on that, we do have our other SWARMS project requesting funding. This is the water investment in northern South Dakota, the WINS project. We have Shane Phillips with Webb, Rod Kappas with BDM, and Robin Bobzine with Aberdeen, who are all partners on this project together. So they've got a brief presentation as well. It's simple.
Gotcha.
Arrow forward, post forward.
Chairman Scholl, board members, Andy, Tina, staff, we sure appreciate the opportunity to come here and talk to you about the WINS project and update you where we're at. As Andy indicated, WINS stands for Water Investment in Northern South Dakota, and that's a collaboration again between the City of Aberdeen, Webb Water, and BDM Rural Water. Discussions started on October 21st, 2021. About the collaboration, about the three entities getting together and building this main trunk line to feed the whole northern northeast corner of South Dakota. Conversations really got serious when the magnitude of the impact of this project to northeastern South Dakota became apparent and funding became available from ARPA funding from this board. The necessity to provide Webb with more water to eliminate all their system moratoriums, provide Aberdeen with additional water capacity, and provide BDM with necessary additional capacity and redundancy were very evident. All three entities at times have not been able to entertain industry, agribusiness, and rural resident requests for additional high-quality, dependable water. This has decreased potential economic activity, which is necessary for the sustainability and the growth of northeastern South Dakota and the general South Dakota economy. Your consideration and funding of the WINS project has been instrumental in getting this project off the ground and moving forward. We are currently moving forward with pipe going into the ground. I will now turn it over to Shane Phillips, who will share some slides on where we're at and what our deliverables are.
Good afternoon. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it. I'll just kind of talk off the map, maybe that'll be the easiest, but as far as what's going on with WINS, what are our current steps, what are the next steps in the foreseeable future? Start on the west side, on the Missouri River, just southwest of Selby, and we're currently under construction with about 14 miles of 49.5-inch steel pipe. It's mainline pipe going from the river at our intake about 14 miles east. Along the way, we're also doing a water treatment plant upgrade. It's going from 11 million gallons a day up to 17, so it's about 6 million gallons a day capacity. That treatment plant upgrade, that's utilizing RD funding. A lot of the steel pipe that we're doing, that main line, is utilizing ARPA funding that was given out through this board, so we're putting it into good use. Both of those projects, the goal is to be done by next summer. So about August of next summer is our substantial completion on those two. So if you go over that way, you'll see a lot of construction going on. The next steps that we're entertaining at this exact moment are three sections of mainline pipe around the Bowdell area, Spring Lake area, and Ipswich. So those are anywhere from 30 to 36 inch pipe. And those are currently out to bid right now. We're going to open bids November 19th for those, and then we're going to award as much of those segments as we can. We're going to utilize additional ARPA funding and some 2023 and 2024 SWARMS funding for those two projects. So we're really utilizing a lot of funding that we've been fortunate enough to receive from this board. And then our next step that we're laser focused on, basically all of these steps will get us 4 million gallons a day to Mina, South Dakota, right there. The goal is to transfer as much of that or all of that 4 million gallons a day to Aberdeen. So that's where we're really headed. And basically that next step, the next segments are going from Mina to the Aberdeen connection. We're up for consideration for a CDS request through Senator Thune's office for up to $20 million, and it would have a $5 million match. That's part of our ask today. But that's our very next step, and our goal is just to get that first water to the city of Aberdeen and really have, you know, deliverables. So, and I don't know if Rob, you want to take it from there on just
sure.
different deliverables. And
you know, we've presented to this board a few times over the years. We probably don't have exactly the same approach that we had when we first started this discussion a few years ago, and we hope we're demonstrating that we're working together, modify our approach so we can come up with deliverables within a reasonable period of time. That's really, really the thing is, it doesn't do us any good to put in pipe in the ground and we still don't see any progress with the potential deliverables. We continue to work together to reduce the number of choke points within the web system together, but ultimately that's going to get us to our the next piece of that goal is to get some water to Aberdeen, and then following that we will be able to have more water that we can add a second pipeline and get more water to the whole northern region, which will ultimately help all three systems. We're looking for additional sources, as Shane said, and we're trying to complete our short-term goals. We've also got long-term goals in mind, which go a long ways out, as the other systems have talked about. You know, we'd like to thank you for your past support, and we thank you for your consideration for this particular request, and stand ready to answer any questions if you have any. Thank you.
We're already working on that. We started, I believe it was 2021, 2022, we started feeding a, it's a polymer, but it's basically a zebra mussel inhibitor is what we feed onto our screen in the intake in the river. We actually, at that time, that was a few years ahead of this, but knowing it was coming, we actually had to replace the old intake screen. It was an 8 million gallon a day intake screen. And then, but we were getting somehow 11 million through it. The new one now will be adequate for this treatment plant upgrade, so it'd be a total of 17. And at that point, we ran a line down through it, and then now it's got kind of a dispersion deal on the intake screen, so it coats it and coats everything coming in. So we're
Thank
prepared
you.
Ahead of time.
Any other questions?
So the 4 million gallon a day delivery to Aberdeen, what fraction of your total is that?
Right now we're our peak is around 10.
Talk about the cooperation between the three groups. Is there a Chicago Bear fan in the mix? Okay, well then that explains it all.
He's a Packer fan, so.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
We appreciate your time.
Yep. So, you know, thanks, Shane. There's no action related to the funding requests on this right now. However, this would be for the board to approve a resolution, again, recommending the retention of the existing State Water Resources Management Systems projects on the SWARMS list. Again, those projects are listed on the title page.
Very good. We have a motion to follow staff recommendation.
Bernard, do it so moved.
Second, Jennings.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any additional comment or question? Hearing none, all in favor with an aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item number 9, omnibus bill funding recommendations. Tina, oh, thank goodness that Andy's sitting up.
I'm still there later.
Yeah, you guys get to hear from me now. All right. Suzanne's going to pull up the presentation. All right, there we go. All right, good afternoon, Chairman Swohol and members of the board. The board annually conducts a public meeting to take statements from interested parties regarding water and waste funding needs. A board resolution is then developed to recommend funding levels to the governor and the legislature for individual state water resources management system projects, the SWARMS projects, the consolidated program, the solid waste program, and other special appropriations for water development. In the board packet, there were documents that included the water and environment flow chart, the lotto distribution flow chart, and the petroleum release compensation and tank inspection fee flow chart. Staff has prepared the documents based on the history of actual revenues and expected future revenues for state fiscal year 2025 and 2026. First, I want to go over a quick overview on how the board has awarded past appropriations. The pie chart here represents $311.5 million that has been appropriated to the dedicated water funding account. The chart also shows the breakout of awards by category since 1993. South Dakota Codified Law 46A-1-93 prioritizes the award of dedicated water funding for development of public water systems. The percentage of awards for regional drinking water projects is 44.5%, while the awards to municipal drinking water projects is 13.8%.
I'm sorry, technical difficulties. I got kicked out of the meeting.
Oh. You're welcome back.
Apparently that clicker's not working. Next slide.
Sorry.
It's okay. All right. Moving on to the solid waste funding. Since 1993, $67.7 million has been appropriated from solid waste fees for the solid waste management program. 58.6% of these fees have been awarded to solid waste disposal projects, 16.0% to waste tire projects, and 25.4% to recycling projects. Since the dedicated funding sources were established in the early 1990s, the combined dedicated water funding and solid waste fees have provided more than $379 million for water and waste projects throughout South Dakota. Before going over the available funds for appropriations, I wanted to cover some key points for the 2025 Omnibus Bill. The bill authorizes special appropriations for state fiscal year 2026, but also includes an emergency clause which will allow funds to become available immediately after, or available to the board once the bill is signed by the governor. The funds will be available for four fiscal years or through June 30th, 2029. Available funds are based on actual revenues received through June 30th of 2024. And includes revenue projections for both state fiscal year 2025 and 2026. Next slide, please. The water and environment flow chart illustrates the flow of revenue deposits into the water and environment fund. On this chart, the sources of revenue are represented with circles with red font, and the funds that have been created by the legislature are in the squares. First, we will look at the online lottery ticket and tank inspection revenue sources, which are a major contribution to the capital construction fund. Lotto revenue comes from five games, with four of them being multi-state games, which are the Powerball, Mega Millions, Lucky for Life, and Lotto America. The fifth is a Dakota Cash, which is only played in South Dakota. The lotto distribution pie chart shows that 50% of lotto revenues is for prizes, 20% is for the admin, commissions, and vendors, and then the remaining 30% gets distributed between the general fund and the capital construction fund. In 2024, we received just over $2.5 million in the water environment fund. In 2026, 30% of the net lottery revenues will be distributed to the capital construction fund. Of that total, 64%, or a projected $1.62 million, is expected to be received by the water environment fund. One item of note that we will discuss further in the presentation is that the net online lottery revenues were significantly higher in state fiscal year 2024 than in previous years. However, due to the variability in lotto revenues, we have continued to have a conservative approach on how much lotto distribution will be affect the water and environment fund. On the on the next slide is the petroleum release compensation and take inspection fee flow chart. The petroleum release compensation and tank inspection fee is created through South Dakota Codified Law 34A-13-20. In 2018, Senate Bill 183 created a new fund called the Ethanol Infrastructure Incentive Fund and changed the revenue distribution percentages annually. The final distribution percentages were set in 2023 and will remain at the same levels unless there is legislative action. The percentage going to the capital construction fund is 81.5%, and it is expected in 2026 that $14.97 million of the projected tank inspection fees will be distributed into the capital construction fund. Again, of that total, 64%, or $9.58 million, will be distributed to the Water and Environment Fund. On this slide, we see the history of the tank inspection fees and the lottery revenue since fiscal year 2017. As you can see by the slides, that the tank inspection fees have remained stable while the lottery revenue continues to vary from year to year. And you can see that huge spike in fiscal year 2024. As we mentioned in the past, the changes of Senate Bill 183 created in 2018 have been beneficial to our program and have had an overall positive impact as we are able to rely on the steady revenues of the tank inspection fees and not had to rely on the much more irregular lottery revenues. Shown on the graph are the deposits for the tank inspection fees increasing since the implementation of Senate Bill 183, while the deposits for the lotto revenue have been decreasing, except for that, again, little sharp increase back in 2024. So with that information, this is the updated flowchart with the lotto and tank inspection fee projection shows the transfer of nearly $11.2 million into the Water and Environment Fund for state fiscal year 2026. On this slide, we will summarize the remaining funds available for appropriation and break down the revenue between water and solid waste funding. Going into fiscal year 2026, staff is estimating an overall surplus of $6,212,000. It is estimated that there will be $11.2 million in transfers to the dedicated water fund from the capital construction fund, $500,000 of contractor's excise tax, loan repayments and interest revenues deposited into the water and solid waste funds are estimated at $780,000. And finally, the dedicated solid waste fees coming from tipping fees and tire fees will total an estimated $1.95 million. Adding all of the estimated revenue, this brings the total amount available for appropriation to $17,642,000. With over $2.5 million available for solid waste funding and over $15 million available for dedicated water funding. The next slide is our completed updated flowchart detailing the revenue projections into the Water and Environment Fund, which this slide was provided in your board packet. Next, I will discuss the SWRMS project funding recommendations. These projects were just presented on in the previous agenda item. Dakota Mainstem Regional Water System. Our recommendation is for a $1 million SWRMS grant to assist in the completion of the comprehensive needs assessment. Excuse me. The board awarded a $1 million SWRMS grant in 2024. For the Water Investment in Northern South Dakota, the WINS project, our recommendation is for a $2 million SWRMS grant to assist with the completion of this project to provide water throughout Northeast South Dakota. Since 2022, the board has awarded $59,730,000 in grants via the SWRMS and the ARPA towards this project. Next slide. Now that we have estimated funding available for all of our areas, we're going to go over our proposed appropriation levels. Staff is proposing $3 million for the SWRMS management projects, $12 million for the consolidated program, and $2.5 million for the solid waste program. This totals $17.5 million in appropriations. The water and environment subfunds for the Clean Water SRF program and the Drinking Water SRF program were established by South Dakota Codified Law 46A-1-60.1. Through the public meeting of the intended use plans earlier today, funds were identified for purposes authorized by federal acts, and the omnibus bill provides budget authority for expenditure of these funds to continue in to include the federal drinking water and clean water SRF set asides. Because these special appropriations vary annually, the preferred method is to address budget authority through our omnibus bill rather than through DANR's annual operating budget. Next slide. The 2025 Clean Water Intended Use Plan identified $600,000 in funds for expenditure authority, $200,000 in water quality grants. These grants will funds will provide grants to supplement our Section 319 program by providing assistance for watershed projects. $300,000 will be used for the Clean Water SRF application and project administration assistance through the planning districts. And in addition to those funds, we are now allowed to take that 2% set aside from the Clean Water SRF capitalization grant funds, of which $100,000 will be used for small community planning grants and small system capacity assessments. On the drinking water side, The intended use plan identified $600,000 in expenditure authority. $300,000 will be allocated for the drinking water SRF application and project administration assistance through the planning districts. And then under the small system technical assistance and local assistance set asides, $300,000 will assist in providing funding for small community planning grants, the small systems technical assistance contract, and the capacity assistance contract. Additionally, as part of the bipartisan infrastructure law, a grant program was established to address PFAS and other emerging contaminants. The BIL Emerging Contaminants for Small or Disadvantaged Communities provides 100% grant for eligible projects. $30 million of federal fund expenditure authority will cover the amounts allocated to South Dakota for 2022, 2023, and 2024. Additional authority will be requested in future years for 2025 and 2026 allocation if project demand is sufficient. And I'll just note on this, this is a whole separate pot of money from the SRF BIL emerging contaminant funding as well. So this is another pot of money towards emerging contaminants that we get to allocate. On this final slide is our summary of the total special appropriations that we have discussed. It is staff's recommendation to approve a resolution recommending to the governor and the state legislature the Water and Environment Fund fiscal year 2026 appropriation levels as outlined here today. With that, that's my presentation.
Thank you very much. Do we have a motion to follow staff recommendation? So moved.
So moved, Lanning.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any additional comments or questions? Hearing none. All in favor with an aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, thank you very much. Item number 10.
Thank you, Chairman Soholt, members of the board. I'm going to be providing you a key recap of the SRF investments and investment returns for state fiscal year 2024. All balances shown are as of June 30th, 2024. Listed on the slide are two guaranteed investment contracts. The first one contract in 2001 and then again in 2004 is for 5.07% with a max investment amount of $60 million in the revenue fund. This guaranteed investment contract is approximately $51 million invested as of June 30th, 2024. The second guaranteed investment contract was negotiated in 2005 for 4.41% with a maximum investment amount of $80 million in the revenue fund. And approximately $77.4 million invested as of June 30th, 2024. That brings the total amount that was invested in the guaranteed investment contracts to approximately $128.3 million. Go back. All right. Other investments balances include $29.9 million in U.S. Treasuries, $9.9 million in agencies, and $89.8 million in a federated money market account. And that brings the total investment balances to $258.1 million. All right. Please note that amounts shown in this presentation are amounts deposited and not necessarily earned in state fiscal year 2024. The guaranteed investment contracts and investment deposits totaled $6.6 million. U.S. Treasury bonds totaled $449,000, agency bonds totaled $1.6 million, and federated totaled nearly $6.1 million. This brought the total amount of interest deposits to $18.2 million, which was an almost $5.6 million increase from last year. This slide is a summary of the investments and the investment returns. The middle column is the yield of the investments held as of June 30th, 2024. The guaranteed investment contracts yield the contracted amount of 5.07%, 4.41%. The dollar amounts invested in U.S. Treasuries were yielding at 4.563%, agencies at 4.616%, and the Federated at 5.31%. Both Treasuries and agencies are listed as yield to maturity at cost. And as of June 30th, the district had approximately $1.5 billion in obligations. Here I want to share with the board some loan portfolio numbers. As of June 30th, 2024, there were 522 loans in repayment with an outstanding principal loan balance of just over $645 million. In state fiscal year 2024, the district received nearly $58.9 million in loan repayments, of which $44 million was in principal, $11.3 million in interest, and nearly $3.5 million in admin surcharge fees. And on a final note, as per our investment policy, we are required to do a periodic review of the policy. Staff, along with PFM, has done the required periodic review of the investment policy, and it was determined that no changes were needed to be made. And this concludes my recap of the investment returns. I'm trying to answer any of your guys' questions.
Any questions from the board? Thank you, Casey. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Nice work. Item number 11, amendment to Webb Water Development Association ARPA grant.
Yeah, I'm back. Chairman Soholt, members of the board. There's currently $56,452 of unobligated ARPA funds. These are due to portions of a couple projects being deobligated. These funds were originally provided in the $600 million of ARPA funds in 2022, Senate Bill 62. In the 2023 legislative session, Senate Bill 20 was passed, which provided the board the discretion on how to reallocate any funds that did come back for that. A reason we're here in front of the board today is that the funds must be under agreement prior to December 31st, 2024 to meet U.S. Treasury requirements. So we need to allocate these so we don't have to pay for the state. Because it is a fairly small dollar amount, we are proposing to just allocate this towards one project, and that is to reallocate these unobligated funds towards the Webb Water Development Association project, which is the WINS project that was originally awarded in 2023 and also received an amendment for some additional funds earlier this year in June. Again, as you heard, this is for the bulk water connection to Aberdeen and BDM and to help that entire area up there. And the ARPA grant specifically is with Webb, as we had to identify a single subrecipient for those ARPA funds. Staff recommendation is to award an additional $56,452 in ARPA grant funds, which would bring the ARPA grant total for that grant to $25,179,832. If any of the Shane or anybody wants to say anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Shane Phillips, General Manager of Webb Water. Again, just want to say thank you to the board, Andy, Tina, staff, just for your support over the last years and continued support. Our goal, all of us, is to put it to good use and do good things with it. So we just appreciate it.
We have a motion to follow staff recommendation.
Bernhard, but so moved.
Second, Becker.
Second, Lamy.
We have a motion and a second. Any additional comment or question? Hearing none. All in favor with an aye?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 12, South Dakota Association of Rural Water Systems contract extension request. Dina.
Hey. Chairman Soholt and members of the board, on November 4th, 2021, the Board of Water and Natural Resources approve the Small Systems Technical Assistance Contract with South Dakota Association of Rural Water Systems. The contract period is from January 1st, 2022 through December 31st, 2024, with an option to extend the contract for up to an additional three-year period. On September 18th, 2024, the department notified South Dakota Association of Rural Water Systems of its intent to extend the contract for an additional 3 years. Through August 2024, the South Dakota Association of Rural Water Systems has provided 3,670 hours of support to 199 small drinking water systems throughout South Dakota. The support includes safe drinking water compliance support, one-on-one operator certification education, valve maintenance, leak detection, mapping distribution systems, rate analysis, and a number of other technical assistance. With the assistance from the Office of the Attorney General, a First Amendment for a contract for services for small system technical assistance services has been prepared and was provided as part of the board packet. The contract period would be from January 1st, 2025 through December 31st, 2027. Just to note some changes that were included in this First Amendment include some governor executive orders that have been made since the original contract was signed, and also updates and contact information for both the state and South Dakota's Association of Rural Water Systems due to retirements. Staff recommendation is to approve a resolution authorizing the execution of the Small System Technical Assistance Contract Extension to South Dakota Association of Rural Water Systems.
We have a motion to follow staff recommendation.
Motion, Jennings.
Second, Lanning.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any comments or questions? Hearing none, all in favor with an aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Gina. Item 13, bond council contract. Andy.
Thank you, Chairman. Bruce Bonjour with Perkins Coie LLP has served as bond counsel for the Clean Water State Revolving Fund Program since 1993 and the Drinking Water State Revolving Fund Program since its inception in 1997. Current contract expires December 31st, 2024. Staff is proposing that the board contract with Mr. Bonjour and his partner, Christine Beeble, to continue providing bond counsel services for the period of 2025 through 2027. The proposed contract will provide legal services on the eligibility of loans and the flow of funds within the Master Trust Indenture for both state revolving fund programs, the filing of secondary market disclosure information on existing bonds within both programs, and preparing or cause for preparing arbitrage rebate reports on existing bonds. Note that with the anticipated upcoming issuance of bonds, we did contemplate that initially as part of this contract as well. So there's some provisions in the total dollars for what that amount would be, which is same dollar amount as what Mr. Bonjour had for this last bond in August, September timeframe as well. So not a whole lot of changes from prior contracts. Few adjustments to the dollars to reflect that we're now 6 years from the last one and things have cost a little bit more these days, although his increases are very modest in comparison. Again, the contract going to affect beginning of the calendar year and end on December 31st, 2027. We do include an option for a one-time three-year extension period in the contract as well. And the draft contract that was prepared with assistance from the Attorney General's office as well was included in the board packet. Staff's recommendation is to authorize the chairman to execute the contract for bond counsel services for the period 2025 through 2027.
Do we have a motion to follow staff recommendation?
Bernhard, move approval.
Second, Becker.
We have a motion and a second. Any additional comment or question? Hearing none, all in favor with an aye.
Aye.
Aye. Hearing none. All in favor with an aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number 14, annual report.
Thank you, Chairman. In accordance with South Dakota Codified Law 46A-2-2, 46A-1-10, and 46A-1-14, an annual report and state water plan is to be presented to the legislature and governor by the first day of the legislative session. The report that is in front of you is similar in format to the report that has been presented in prior years. The annual report provides a brief description of the activities that have been undertaken by the board during the calendar year 2024 and includes tables detailing the funding awards provided by the board throughout the year from the various programs. The board awarded more than $471.1 million in grant and loan funding for planning, design, and construction of municipal drinking water, wastewater, lake and watershed restoration, rural water, solid waste disposal, and recycling projects. Note a major contribution to that was the roughly $105 million of additional ARPA funds that was awarded in June. These awards continue to be critical in having environmental projects being completed across the state. I would note that table one in the report, which is the ARPA funding table, will be updated based on the recommendation the board just made for the additional $56,000 to Webb that was not included. So that will be updated before final publication. The second part of the report is the state water plan, which identifies projects for placement onto the 2025 facilities plan and provides detailed information for projects on the state water resources management system. Board placed 36 projects that I presented earlier onto the facilities plan, and which brings the total number of projects on the 2025 water facilities plan to 380. Projects that have received funding from the board previously remain on the facilities plan until completion and remain eligible to request additional funding if costs increase. So that is why we have such a large number with those outstanding ARPA projects, especially from prior years. The SWARMS component of the state water plan includes the 11 existing projects on the list and general information regarding each of those projects. Again, remind the board that the Gregory County Pump Storage Project is no longer on the SWARMS list. However, there is project information still included in this year's report, primarily to address that action of the removal. And going forward, that project will be removed from future years' reports. The final version of the report will provide the recommendations in the omnibus bill, which were just presented, and submits those to the governor and legislature on the funding levels for various water and solid waste projects, programs and activities, the board's recommendations for the SWARMS list designations, the funding levels for projects, programs and activities, and the Water Environment Fund special condition statement are provided as appendices to the report. Staff's recommendation is for approval of the 2024 annual report and the 2025 state water plan, and to authorize staff to print and distribute the report to the state legislature, governor, and other interested parties on behalf of the board.
Do we have a motion to follow staff recommendation?
Drew's a move.
Bernhard will second.
We have a motion and a second. Any additional comments or question?
So the final report will include the Webb
yes.
grant.
So that final report, yes. So table one, which is the ARPA grants right up towards the front. I put ARPA grants up front a couple years ago not to bury the lead on things. And so that Webb Water Development Association project that shows 2024 awarded amount of $10.5 million will be adjusted to $10,556,452, and the rest of the table will be adjusted accordingly as well.
And then the water plan changes that we approved today?
Those show in here with the anticipation that the board would do that. Those are back there. There's two separate tables. One is table 12, which is prior funding projects awarded, and that's a pretty lengthy table right now. And then table 13 begins on page 43. That is the unfunded projects, and all those projects that were placed on earlier today are included in that list.
One other comment. I encourage board members to keep this in your car. And as you're driving around the state, all through all the little towns, check the box that you probably provide. $5 for it to provide assistance for the water programs, whichever it is. Staff too. I mean, any place you go, you know, I drive around a lot. It's my wife kicks me out of the house, and so I drive around. But you go and you go, yeah, I remember that one, you know, and I remember that one, you know, and then you start opening up the band. Well, I forgot about that one. But just check and look at the impact that you're having, you know, staff, board, on what you're having on the infrastructure and the water issues in South Dakota. It's just, it's incredible what you're doing and what we're doing. So we have a motion and a second. Any additional comment or question? Hearing none. All in favor with an aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Holly. Delfoos change security pledge for drinking water, SRF loan.
Good afternoon, Chairman Soholt and members of the board. On September 22nd, 2022, the Board of Water and Natural Resources awarded the City of Belfouge a $1,760,000 drinking water SRF loan for its Hat Ranch well project using a system revenue as pledge security. When the project was trying to proceed with closing, it was found that the board resolution 2022-413 had stated that the project had pledged a project surcharge with the contingencies of a system revenue. This also caused the City of Belfouge to pass an incorrect resolution. The staff recommendation is to rescind resolution 2022-413, which awarded the original drinking water SRF loan with a project surcharge with the error of contingencies, and pass a new board resolution correcting the revenue pledge to a system revenue. Questions?
We have a motion to follow staff recommendation.
Motion, Becker.
Second, Bernhard.
We have a motion and a second. Any comment or questions? Just a question, was this Megan's error?
We weren't actually here. So we got out of that
I'll
one.
Take the blame.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor with an aye?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item number 16, January 9, 2025. Wow.
All right. Chairman Soholt and members of the board, I'm just going to kind of give you an overview of what we're looking at for our January 2025 meeting. We project it will be a one day, probably likely just an afternoon meeting, as we've had. We have four funding applications that we will take up at that time. We have our annual reports for both the drinking water and clean water SRF. The 319 project applications, we'll give a presentation on that. We've also asked our watershed protection program to do a RBI update. I believe one of the members had asked for an update, so we thought that would be a good opportunity. We've also asked Tim Kalman with the South Dakota Geological Survey to give a presentation on the flood information system and the flooding event that occurred in June. So we'll hopefully have a presentation on that. And we might have a couple of loan deobligations or other things that come up between now and January.
Very good. A couple of comments, I guess, as we move forward. Again, if you look at the volume of information and the detail put together by the staff, and that's just incredible. People that show up to present to us today so we can see the faces and hear the questions, it's always very valuable for all of us. Thanks for the board for taking time to spend the time at the meeting today. And Jean isn't here, but I want to thank Jean for chairing the meeting last time when I was unavailable. So, appreciate all that you all do, and it's just a pleasure to come in and listen and share and watch. So thank you. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved, Bernard.
So moved, Drews.
All in favor with an aye?
Aye.
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 Motion carries. We are adjourned.